I knew it was time to change or to at least begin investigating what was, air quotes, wrong with me after a breakup, after things going left, after having this feeling of why did I make this decision? I knew it was time for me to do some more investigating when I would ask myself and feel that deep despair and confusion of just trying to understand why does this keep happening to me? How do I keep finding myself in these situations with these people all the time? At some point, we have to understand that the things that we go through, the breakups, the friendships, the things that are not so favorable are part of the alignment for us to awaken and address what it is that we need to look at for ourselves. It is a part of our alignment when we go through it, when we pause and allow it to become our character, our identity, and a part of our story in a way to where it's like, oh, well, that's just what I've become. That thing has made me become this not so favorable type of person with these not so favorable feelings and thoughts and emotions and behaviors. Then we are settling for less than what our soul wants for us. But then there's the other side of the coin where our soul came here. We signed up for this pattern. We signed up for this type of being. We signed up for these trials and these tribulations. But we don't have to stay there. And staying there now becomes a choice. It becomes what we're choosing and not what we are breaking. In this episode, we are going to dive into feeling the nudges of your soul being ready to integrate all parts of you and do the healing work. Let's get into it. When we came here on divine mission with a divine plan and a divine purpose, a path meant to be walked in our authenticity. But along the way, life happened. Generational patterns got in the way, systemic barriers showed up, and we were left to adapt and adopt imprints, stories, and survival modes that were never meant to define us forever. Here, we hold space, sacred space, to heal those narratives, those traumas, those generational and systemic barriers, guiding you back home to your true divine self and your soul's calling. This is the Soul Work Podcast, your home for healing with love, so you can live out your soul work in truth and power. Welcome to Soul Work with Love, the podcast, where soul meets strategy, spirit meets systems, and healing becomes your legacy. Hi, my beautiful souls. Welcome back to the Soul Work with Love, the podcast. My name is Love Ashley Elaine. I am here to be your guide through all things healing, spirituality, and purpose. Oh, I just love that I get to do this. This episode, we are talking about integration of the whole self. And when the soul starts giving us nudges of when it's time to start looking at our shadow selves, when it's time to start going deeper into our healing, our soul is the compass that gives us the communication that we need. So get your tea, get your pillows, get your journal. Let's get comfy and let's get into it. Beautiful souls, the time has come. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Release and Rise is officially here. Yes, this is a sacred 6-week coaching experience designed for women who are healers, helpers, visionaries, creatives, entrepreneurs, aspiring entrepreneurs who are tired of dimming their light, ready to tap into their fullest potential, and ready to rise into the fullness of their calling, utilizing and revitalizing those gifts so that they can approach their work in a brand new way. In this space, we don't just talk about transformation, we actually embody it. We honor both the release and the rise, the breaking open and the becoming of your wholeness. Because transformation isn't always pretty and it's definitely not easy, but when it's held in sacred community, it becomes so powerful beyond whatever it could ever be measured up against. But what makes Release and Rise different? Sis, it's not just this fun little thing that I came up with. It's not just all spiritual. It's not all woo-woo. It is evidence-based. Yes, your girl is smart. We have weaved in the trans-theoretical model of behavior change to support you throughout actual, real, and authentic, lasting transformation. And as we move deeper into this new earth and the way things are being done and the new ways of doing, we are being called to return to the sacred truth of our divine being and those gifts that we have been given. The portal is open now. Like it's open now. It's going to be good. It's going to be juicy. It's going to be exciting. It's going to make you touch some depths. If this is what you are needing, if you're sensing it, if you're feeling it, if your soul is calling you to it, we begin on October 1st. You have been waiting for a sign, and I believe this is it. I believe this is your sign. Don't walk, run, go to the show notes, and go ahead and click on that link so that you can go ahead and step inside. I will see you on October 1st. Welcome back to the Soul Work with Love, the podcast. I have a question. Take a moment, close your eyes, take a nice big inhale and exhale. What does it feel like in your body when your soul is nudging at you to do something or to not do something? Just take a moment to sit with that. And not like something for someone else, right? But for you, when you're in the midst of a situation, when you're in the midst of whatever it is, when you're currently and actively in something, What does it feel like in your body when your soul is nudging at you to do something, to stop, to move forward, all of that? And then take a moment to recognize somatically what happens in your body when you're resisting doing what is being soulfully instructed. What would it feel like if you just solely leaned on and trusted your soul? Yes, we need logic. Yes, we need all of the things in the mind, but the mind plays so many different stories, so many different movies, so many different words and languages and all the things, that it can become deceptive. It can tell us, oh, well, this is, you know, still a good thing, blah, 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 whatever, whatever, whatever. But the soul is like, Gnosis, you need to run now. We're always looking for an explanation or the evidence of why our soul is peeking at us to do something. And when I think about the times where I just said yes to my soul and the call, the nudge, the gentle whispers, whatever I was feeling and sensing from my gut, and didn't and got to a place where it was like, I need to trust my soul and not worry about the evidence. The evidence came later. The evidence came later. Even if I was resisting what I was being shown in my gut, right? If I resisted it or didn't want to believe it or didn't want to see it, the evidence still showed up later. The evidence still showed up later. Our soul came here with a blueprint, a map, with things lined up because of a contract that we signed before we got here. There is also a version of us that has a dream, a vision, a goal, a lifestyle that we are meant to live. Here's the thing about it. We don't just get it. We don't just fall right into it. It's a part of the journey to getting to that point. Because what we find in the journey is who we are becoming, what we needed to let go of, who we needed to let go of, where we needed to move away from, what thought processes and systems within us have we been living in that has been blocking us from even moving in the right direction of that vision and the person, the type of person we have to become to live in that vision. So what we sometimes miss is the actual listening to the soul's direction, because the soul has been here. The soul has been here. It knows what it's playing out. It knows what has been agreed to before we incarnated here into these bodies, these meat suits. So why would I not listen to my soul? My brain is functioning. It's here to keep me alive. It's here to help me actualize what my soul is prompting me to do. Another part of the actualization is the trial and error, the trial by fire, the love and the loss, the all of those parts, because those come with information about who we are, what we have, and what we need to become aware of and awaken to within us. So when we talk about recognizing the soul's nudges, we're talking about how do we know that we are like moving away from a version of us that was here last week, last month, last year, and needing to do some deeper digging and internalization to move forward. What are those nudges? What do they feel like? Or do we just become complacent with them? Do we just hold them? Do we just ignore them? Sometimes it feels like restlessness. Sometimes it feels like curiosity. Sometimes it comes in the form of dissatisfaction, right? We just had the big lunar eclipse. Let me tell you, I've been wiped completely clean. Like nothing feels the same anymore. Nothing feels the same anymore. But sometimes it comes in the form of like dissatisfaction. A lot of people I've talked to on the lead up of this full moon lunar eclipse has talked about the dissatisfaction with their job. They're ready to leave. They don't feel like this is a part of what they should be doing anymore. It also comes in the form of themes repeating themselves, synchronicities. If you know me, you know I'm an angel number girl. I see them all the time. It's a sign of something. Seeing something over and over again, having a conversation with somebody about one thing, and then that same conversation popping up later with somebody else. What are the recognitions, the soul recognitions of the nudge of something changing or needing to change? Now, here's the thing. You can get all the nudges in the world, but at some point you have to move your body and act on it. Those nudges are the prescription to you acting, right? You can go to the pharmacy and get your prescription, but you're not going to get better if you just look at the prescription and say, "Oh, I got my prescription." You have to take it. The taking it is the action part. Right. So the action could be journaling. What's coming up for me? What am I dissatisfied with? What am I curious about? What do I have questions about? Why am I restless? What's making me restless? Right. And then looking at like the repeated themes. Sometimes we keep ending up in the same cycle because we haven't listened to the soul's nudges about, hey, this is not where you need to be, but I'm going to keep sending you the same job over and over again. It's just going to look like a different department. I'm going to keep sending you the same lover over and over again. It's just going to look like a different person. I'm going to keep sending you the same lesson over and over again until you finally have the aha moment. For me, that was the thing. And then I got to a point where I would ask myself, why does this keep happening to me? Why did I, and I wrote this in my book, why did I have to keep hitting the ground to understand that something wasn't, that something was actually hurting me? The more you allow yourself to look at and accept what is, the less we do the blame game, the less we victimize ourselves, and the more we discover our truth and our power. And there's a reason why we are living that lesson, because we're going to need it to empower us for something else, for something greater, and to empower others. So here's a journal prompt for you to reflect on. Where is my soul whispering to me right now? And what's one area in my life that feels like it's asking for change? What is what where is your life asking for change? And what is your soul nudging at you to look at? Those two are very like linked to one another. The soul also calls us to heal. Right? When we talk about coming out of those breakups, those relationships that we thought were going to last forever and they lasted 2 minutes, when we are leaving a job or get fired from a job, whatever that looks like, let's be honest, there's some shit that comes with that. There's some stories that come with that that we start asking ourselves, was I worthy enough? Is it me? What could I have done different? What do I do now? When we are getting that nudge and that call to heal, it's the first step to integration, right? We have to tend to the wound. So one of my wounds was not being enough or not feeling like enough, right? It's like it's and now the other side of that I'm working through is being too much, because I'm so clear on who I am, what I want, and what I want my life to look and feel like. Now it's like, oh, she's too much. She's asking for too much. Whereas before it would be, oh, I'm not enough. I'm not doing enough to gain the love and respect from people that I want love and respect from. But here's the thing, those aren't my people. I don't care if it's family, friends, whomever, those aren't my people. If anybody is starting to make me feel like I'm asking for too much, or making me feel like I'm not enough, I don't want to be around them. And even if I'm able to have a conversation with them and say, hey, this is what I'm feeling, I want to make sure we're on the same page, or I want to know if we're on the same page, and they deflect, or like the way they respond lets me know also, this is my person, or these are my people. And I also realize and understand that someone who doesn't feel like I'm too much is not going to make me have to guess and even have to ask that question. So when we're tending to the wounds of whatever, when we're tending to those wounds, right, our soul is actually healing also, because healing brings expansion. Healing brings integration and expansion. You can't expand on what you're not willing to let go of. You can't expand if you're not willing to look at what needs to be let go of. Because expansion means I'm making room for more. And if we're holding on to all this clutter and unspoken needs and words, and not allowing ourselves to really step fully into our authority and say the thing that we need to say, remove the thing that we need to remove, heal the thing that needs to be healed, right? If we're like serial dating or serial in relationships back to back to back, it's like, when do we take a pause and say, okay, why do I have this constant need to be with somebody? And what is it about being with myself that scares me? Like when people tell me they're afraid to be alone, and I'm just like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, that is the most magical space I love to be in. Right? Learning that loneliness is not a trap or a death sentence. Like, I don't want to just be with somebody because I'm afraid to be alone. I'm afraid of being in the wrong relationship. I'm afraid of being with the wrong person. I'm afraid of having kids with the wrong person again. I'm afraid of marrying the wrong person again. I'm afraid of creating a life and making money with the wrong person. And then we see all these famous people, like when they get divorced, now they're paying the other person has like stolen all their money. That's the shit I'm afraid of. So we have to look at what those wounds are, what those patterns are, and or what are the limiting beliefs, because those limiting beliefs also create behavior patterns that allow us to keep accepting the same thing over and over again. When we're talking about the soul calling us to heal, we also have to recognize the resistance that comes with that, and that the resistance is normal. Because again, we don't have the tangible evidence yet as to why we need to do this thing. We just feel that this thing is calling us to investigate and look at something. I keep seeing like a flashlight shining on the inside, like the soul, like when the soul is at, like, is prompting us or nudging us to heal or look at something. I'm like seeing it, my eyes are closed right now, and I'm like seeing it turning on like a light bulb or turning on a flashlight and like shining inward, right? It's like at some point, like, it's going to turn on the light and say, hey, like, knock on the door, we need you to take a look at something. So we have to normalize the resistance to changing behavior, because that's going to ask us to actually look at our behaviors, look at our patterns. Why am I so willing to love and give? Why is it hard for me to receive? Why do I, like, even, I mean, literally down to last night, I'm laying in bed and I'm like, I want a cup of coffee. And I could easily drink a cup of coffee before bed and sleep with no problem. And do I need to keep drinking a cup of coffee before bed? So changing the behavior on that. And it's like, well, I don't need to drink a cup of coffee. But now it's like, well, why do I want the cup of coffee? And it's like, I think I just want something warm and comforting. Coffee is comforting for me. So instead, I've been drinking a mason jar of water with lemon and ginger. So all I did was like warm throughout the day yesterday because this eclipse and this 999 portal literally wiped me out. Like I slept most of yesterday, just put everything on pause and slept most of yesterday. Which is another behavior change, right? Why do I have to overwork myself if my body is signaling that I'm tired? Why do I feel like I need to keep pressing through? Because then I'm going to be no good for what it is that I actually need to do. Right? Where like it's not even, I mean, get rid of like the grind culture and all these other things. Are you listening to your body and the soul's promptings in what you need to do? The behavior change also. So instead, I just got some warm, super, super, super warm water, not hot, but super warm water, and like chilled with that the rest of the night. And then when I got super sleepy again, turned my TV off and went to sleep. Like there's behavior changes that our soul is asking us to do. I heard someone say, an astrologer say the other day, that with this new eclipse and the changes that are being made within us internally, the brain logically wants to keep doing the same thing over and over again because that's what it's been used to. And logically, it's not understanding that in order to do the thing that we want to do, we have to do something different, we have to become a different person, which a different version of us, which means we have to do different behaviors. We have to have different actions. So, in order to really bring that forth, this astrologer said instead of like really pay attention to your patterns, right? Because your brain is like, okay, like it becomes so mundane where I just get up, I go make a cup of coffee, I do this, I do this, I do this. Do something different. Force your brain and your behaviors to do something different. It's gonna be uncomfortable because it's like, wait, what? This isn't it. But when you can reprogram your brain to do something different, you're now reprogramming your body to invite in the change of that behavior, which now changes the person that you are so that you can now incorporate new behaviors to do the thing that you want to do, to not only hold the vision but to also become the vision. Woo! So the other day, I woke up very confused and had no idea what I was doing, but I wasn't lost. I was not lost. Being confused and lost are two different things. And the confusion was more so like, okay, wait, I know I'm in my house. I know I'm in my room. I recognize my bed, but something is completely different. And I was like, okay, like, what do I do first? Like, almost as if I needed somebody to tell me what I needed to do because whatever has been just felt like it was so distant from me and what I'm used to, like, whatever that rhythm is. And I also, like, was willing to engage in this because it was the sign I needed that I have changed, that something has changed, and that all the things that I have been working to integrate have finally landed. So when we're talking about healing, and I think I mentioned this a little bit in the mini episode that came out this week also, when we're healing, because healing is linear, it's not like this one shot thing and then it's like, I'm done. No, man, you're not done. You still got so much more to do. So much more to do. So much more to do. There's always something to learn about self because if you feel like there's nothing else to learn about self, then you, my dear, are living in stagnation. You, my dear, are living in like you have settled. You have completely settled. And that is okay if that is for you, right? Like we keep hearing entrepreneurship is actually like a healing journey and personal and professional development every single day. Every single day, imagine building from the ground up. And every time you build, you're learning something new about yourself and having to heal something new about yourself and looking at all the crevices of self. Because you are the brand and the product, the creator of it and the distributor of it, and who is like you, like what people are being sold on. So when we talk about healing, it doesn't erase the past. It helps you integrate it. It helps you integrate. What did I learn from that relationship? What did I learn from that experience? What did that experience allow me to see about me to where now I can integrate that lesson into my today? I ended up in this master's program. So for some of you who know and some of you don't, I am in a master's program for public health with a certificate in maternal and child health. And I'll be adding another certificate at the end of the spring semester in epidemiology methods of research. And what led me to this program, because I was supposed to be going to law school. I took the LSAT 2-3 times. I was prepared to take it again the beginning of this year. In addition to getting accepted to this program, like I was going to do dual enrollment. And again, those soul nudges, I was struggling to study. I was in court and having all this back and forth stuff with my son and his father. And I got to a point where I was like, I don't want to fucking do this. If this is how the court system is, I don't want to do this. If this is what I have to deal with, I don't want to do this. But on the second day of us having our court hearing, I don't know. Something happened. Something within me happened. I can't really pinpoint it, but I was very clear on what my direction was because of the allegations that were put on me about my son's behaviors. I was being told that my son's behaviors in school were because of me. I brought my son's IEP from when he was in school with me and showed that whatever documentation that this other person had from a therapist that I've never even met and was made aware of is the same exact behaviors that my son had when he had an IEP. Whatever faded experience that needed to be, so be it. I came home that night and whatever I had articulated, like I was in a state of something in today felt aligned. Something like there was a clicking that I couldn't really describe. And it was all about like behaviors and trauma and the court system not understanding that when a child is being traumatized, gaslit, manipulated, that there's behaviors that show up. And this is exactly what was happening. I'm not going to get deep into that story. I've shared some of it last October, the mother and child sabotage episode, because that's exactly what was happening. And even the soul nudges in understanding what was happening, like paying attention to those. But I ended up Googling that night something around like behaviors and just, I don't know. I never would have thought that I would have landed in a public health master's degree program. never would have thought. Like, I've always knew, I, like, when I was a child, my dream was to go to Juilliard to become a dancer and to go to Rutgers for law school. Funny how things work, being a yoga teacher and now being at Rutgers for public health, same thing, different stones, right? But it's the I followed the nudge. I followed the nudge. So anything that happens that has happened between then and now, some of it is whatever the human matrix part of this system, this society, the other person, whatever. I have to follow the nudge. I have to follow my soul. I have to follow what God is prompting me and clicking at me to do. Because if I don't, then I end up back into whatever patterns and cycles I fought so hard to come out of, right? So being in this program was solely based off of following my soul's nudge. Because I never considered a master's in public health. And then it just keeps opening up from there. So when we're talking about really understanding following our nudges and the healing that comes with that, it also opens up expansion, right? So, a journal prompt for your call to healing. What patterns or behaviors resurface when you're standing at the edge of change? I've had to look at this. When I'm standing at the edge of change, there's a lot of things that I lose because I know they're about to get upgraded. So my money changes, relationships change, things with like my car changes. Like when I am at the edge of change, when things are about to change, and sometimes massively change, I'm at the edge of I end up losing almost everything, right? And it's like not everything all at once. This state of change that I'm in now, I know whatever is coming in is going to be massive because I have literally lost everything. I am down at ground fucking zero. Ground zero. And I love that I've lost everything because it gives me permission to redefine and look at, well, what is actually important to me? What are my values? Because then I realize I haven't lost anything. I can rebuild, I can get a new car. Money is going to flow in the way it needs to, when it's supposed to, and how it needs to. But to be in a space where I know what behavior, like what's coming, right? What I needed to pay attention to release, because it's also part of the process too, right? Is surrendering. Surrendering is healing. If we keep holding on to that job, then we're not surrendering to the expansion of what it is that we're actually meant to walk into, hold, and have. And then, how are these behaviors protecting me? How are those behaviors protecting you? Are they even good for you? Right? Being a victim could be good for you. It could get you any and everything that you want, the sympathy you want, all of that. Is that where you need to stay? Because that can also hinder you from actually stepping into your power and owning and having what it is that you're meant to own and have. So next, the call to expand. Expansion is saying yes to growth, creativity, and stepping beyond your comfort zones. You do not get what you want staying in your comfort zones. Do something that makes you uncomfortable every single day. Allow yourself to get into the discomfort of growth. nothing has ever grown in the comfort of its if of anything. I'm not even gonna like keep trying to stumble over that, right? When we talk about like the rose, like those the plants that we see growing from the through the concrete, at some point they're busting through the concrete. That is uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to sit with self when you don't have some of the material things that you want and probably need. Right? I've talked about reframing. How do we reframe that? Expansion can be exciting and terrifying. Everybody wants to expand. Everybody wants all of the things. And the expansion, the terrifying side of expansion is, am I the person that I need to be to hold all of that? So it's like, yeah, you want to make 10K a month, but are you the person to actually do what needs to be done to make 10K a month? Are you able to be dis uncomfortable and send your program listing to 20 different people's DMs? 'Cause you don't know who they know. And you don't know who they know, and you don't know who they know, right? That effect. So what are you able to allow yourself to get uncomfortable with? What are those micro practices that you have that keep you connected to you, even in the discomfort of expanding? Rubber bands don't get utilized just by like staying when you buy them, when you did, they have to expand to be used. Rubber bands have to be stretched to be used. Rubber bands have to be stretched to be used. So if you are like, it's exciting to have the vision of the life that you want, right? The spouse, the kids, the home, where you want to live, what your work is going to look like, how many clients you want, all of those things. But if you are not willing to surrender and be stretched, you can't be used. You won't be used properly. And I'm not talking about like people using you, right? The giftings and the creativity and what your soul aligned calling is with your hands and your work, your feet, what you're meant to do, you'll be underutilized. If a rubber band is not stretched to be used to go around paper or used on your hair, it's underutilized. Right? If the comforter on your bed is not spread out and placed correctly, it's underutilized. Where are you allowing yourself to be underutilized because you're afraid to be stretched? You're afraid of the discomfort. You're afraid of when you are being stretched, being exposed to parts of you that you need to take care of, the truth of what you've been hiding, the shadow. Because what happens in the stretching is we're now being called to integrate the whole entire self. When we're being stretched, we're being shown parts of us that are not so favorable. Like we can have the love and the light and the, oh, she's a good person, but also what is the grit and the dark side of you? Right? There's something that I saw on Instagram where they were talking about Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs built Apple and like a brand that all of us, I mean, I got a MacBook, I've had an Apple Watch, I got an iPhone, my son has an iPhone, like Steve Jobs did his thing. But somebody was working, somebody that worked for him, and he's a pretty well known, he's on Shark Tank, was talking about, you know, like the dark side of Steve Jobs. Nobody builds something that big and is all love and light. And I'm not saying you got to be an evil person. You just have to have this type of, you just have to have the integration of the other part of you that's like, I don't give a damn what anybody has to say. I don't give a fuck about anybody's opinion. This is what I'm doing. This is how it's going to get done. And this is what I want. And this is what I'm going to do to get it and still hold my integrity. There's parts of, I've been doing a lot of shadow work lately and turning it into art because that's what helps me process it. There are parts of our shadow that we need to connect to that is going to help us move into the version of us that we need to be able to hold and live the vision. I don't want to work with clients that are going through these deep, dark places, and I'm just like, oh, well, it's okay. Just think positive. No, that is toxic. People want to know that they can connect with you on all levels. I don't want the toxic spirituality and the surface spirituality. I don't want the toxic positivity and surface positivity. I don't want the toxic healing and like what healing really is. This shit is grimy. It is nasty. It gets a little lonely. And it is the most beautiful thing when you can look at some of those dark spot parts of you and integrate it into all of you. And we're not saying you have to just be the dark parts of you. No. It makes you honest. It makes you pure. It makes you authentic. Real authenticity. Real authenticity says, I'm empathetic to the fact that this political person just got assassinated. And, well, to gun violence because I don't condone it. And I'm not empathetic to the part that he died by what he said needed to keep happening, especially in the Black community, when I am a Black woman and raising a Black son. I'm not, like, no. And it's not about spirituality and, oh, like, that's not the right thing to do. No. The truth of the matter is, if I don't integrate and look at my shadow self, I keep getting taken advantage of. Because people will think, oh, well, she's sweet. She's all love and light. It's okay. Like, I remember my ex, when I called the police on him, or the police got called on him, and I was taken out of the house, and he ended up getting arrested. I remember him saying to me, I never would have thought in a million years you, of all people, would have called the police on me. And I asked him, well, what the fuck does that mean? What does that even mean? Like, he said to me, he was like, man, like, he said, I just keep thinking, man, Ashley, of all people, called the police on me. And I'm just like, well, what does that mean? What does that mean? If I don't look at my shadow, my nasty parts, and my grit, like whatever is sitting in my shadow, I'm going to keep allowing people to take advantage of me. I'm going to keep allowing people to walk in and out of my life, walk all over me, take from me, like dismantle my power, call me emotionally unstable, all of these things. If I don't look at my shadow and start looking at that part of me also, those things are going to keep happening. So yes, it might not look favorable that now my no is just solid no, that now I'm not doing any more free work for anybody. What my price is my price. And if you like it, cool. We can work together. If not, so be it. Take care. That I'm writing from a place of pain, right? Everybody, it's okay if I write about like love and healing and all those things, but the grit of it all, the truth of it all, that is the part that I'm integrating. I am moving into such a whole space of integration that I don't even recognize myself. I'm not calling people back. I'm not engaging in certain conversations. Like, I know what kind of people I want in my corner. I know what kind of conversations I want to keep having. I know who I want to spend my time with and my energy. I know what I want to spend money on. I know how I want to make my money. I know what kind of life I want to live. I know where I want to live. The clearer I've gotten, the more grit I've had to bring in from my shadow self, from that dark side. That is the integration. That is the expansion. When we integrate all parts of ourselves, we are giving permission to expand, because now we're saying, I am looking at every single angle of me and integrating it all without the shame, without the judgment, without just the dark or just the light. I'm integrating it all and creating such a beautiful gray space with the red lipstick. When I integrate all parts of me and allow wholeness to be who I am and how I show up in every single space, I am signaling to God, Spirit, Source, to orchestrate the universe, to move in a way, to manipulate the energy in a way to where I am now in control of self and creating my own reality, and God is going to meet me there. I am integrating in such a way to where wholeness is who I am and how I show up and what I produce, to where now there's no choice but for expansion to take place. Because I've allowed myself to heal, because I've allowed myself to heal and look at those dark spaces and those light spaces and integrate them into each other, I'm saying yes to expansion. Wholeness moves into expansion. I will never not say this quote on this show. Wholeness is when the truth of our being matches the way of our being. Are you living in synchronicity with your truth? Are you even looking at your own truth? That is real wholeness. That is the integration. A journal prompt for you for what it looks like to expand. Where in my life do I feel stretched? And is the stretching towards my growth? Because there's such a thing to be stretched and be underutilized and used and abused. And then there's such a thing to be stretched and it's growing you. It's exposing you to you. It's making you look at the parts of you that you may not have looked at if you didn't surrender to the stretching. 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 Because there's things that need to fall off. There's things that need to fall away. There's behaviors that need to be exposed to you. There's people that need to go away and disappear from your life. There's conversations that you no longer need to have anymore so that you can start having the real ones. I don't know. I just been feeling like some of the stuff that I see on social media, some stuff just feels so inauthentic and they feel it being authentic. And I'm just like, no, this doesn't feel right. This doesn't feel good. I'm looking at stuff and it's like, this feels fake. This feels false. This doesn't feel real. This feels like a show. I don't want to put on a fucking show. I want the real deal. I want real people. I want people who are ready to say, this shit is scary, but I'm ready to do it anyway, because there's a version of me and then there's a life that I want to live. And where I'm at, I can't do that anymore. Give me the real deal. You want the red pill or the blue pill? And then another journal prompt for you to really understand your integration to your whole self is what parts of me have I been leaving out of my story, and how can I welcome it back home? What parts of you are you leaving out of your story? What parts of you are you leaving out of your story? And are you ready and willing to welcome it back home? Take a nice big inhale and exhale. Our last journal prompt: what is my soul calling me to integrate right now? And what's one step I can take this week to honor that call? Surrender to the stretching. Because in the stretching, you find your healing, you find your wholeness, you find expansion. Allow your soul's nudges and that dissatisfaction and the curiosity and the restlessness and all of those signs be your signal that it's time. Let it be the information that you need to be able to press you forward. We're in slingshot season, slingshot energy. Let that be a part of your lock-in right now. We're in a great lock-in. It's massive. Let that be a part of your lock-in. The lock-in isn't just, I got to grind and do the work. The lock-in is like, no, am I becoming the version of me that I need to become to hold the vision? It's too many people out here not being who they're saying they are, and their vision is crumbling them. I don't want my vision to crumble me. I want to be the one to keep manipulating the vision to be what I need it to be. That whatever vision God keeps putting in me, I keep allowing myself to mold and see it greater. See the version that he sees, that God sees. We can manipulate energy. We can manipulate all of this. We are the masters of our own fate and destiny. How much of what you want do you really want? And are you still okay with playing patty cake with your healing, your wholeness, and your expansion? Sorry, y'all. I went off today, but I've been feeling a ways, and this has been for me, like, where I am right now, because I'm tired of, like, there's just some shit that I'm just sick of, and I want to always show up true in truth and integrity and as my most authentic self every single time. I don't want to be a different person on social media and in my work than I am in real life. I want, when people see my stuff on social media, when they hear this podcast, when they read whatever books I'm writing and presentations I'm giving, that when they meet me off camera, off scene, off internet, and in real time, they're like, damn, she's the same exact person. I fucks with her. Because when I understand that I am a whole experience, I know how far I can go on social media, and I know who I am in real time. Yeah. Nice big inhale. I'm hungry now. And exhale. That's how I know I had to deliver, because now I'm hungry. Nice big inhale and exhale. I love all of you for free. Really sit with those journal prompts. I think I'm going to put them in the show notes. I'm going to put the journal prompts in the show notes. I'm going to put my email in the show notes. Sit with them. I'm going to also put these journal prompts on social media. Follow me at Soul Work With Love on Instagram. And Threads and TikTok and Facebook. Love Ashley Elaine. And follow the business page, Ashley Elaine Inc. Yeah, I think we're gonna put these on there. So do the work. do the work, answer, give yourself space to sit with those questions, do the work, release the shame, release the guilt. I love you all for free. Tune in next week. Bye. I want to take a moment to invite you into the Soul Tribe. It is a monthly membership designed to nourish your mind, body, and soul work. We gather 3 times a week on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Zoom for yoga, meditation, breathwork, and Dharma talks. These intentional practices are here to ground your energy, awaken your creativity, and keep you aligned with your soul's purpose. But why the Soul Tribe? Because you deserve a space that fills you back up before the world asks you of anything from you. If you're a mom, you understand this wholeheartedly. If you're a wife, you understand this. You need space for you, mi amor. Imagine starting your mornings in community, in clarity, and love, anchored in practices that carry you through the week. So we begin September 15th, and right now you can join as a founding member for just $99 a month, and you hold on to that pricing forever. I see a great vision for this Soul Tribe. You come in as a founding member and hold on to that $99 a month membership price for a lifetime. After December 1st, the regular investment is $222. This is your invitation to step into a rhythm of devotion, of growth, and a beautiful and sacred community. Secure your spot today. Check the show notes for the link. I love you all for free. I will see you in the Soul Tribe.